Well, how many of you in school remember the teacher getting up and saying, "We're going to have a pop quiz today"? Are you ready for a pop quiz? All right. The first question is, does anyone remember what the series most recently our pastor was doing? What is it? The most recent. What was it? Sermon on the Mount. That's right, the Sermon on the Mount. Well, does anyone recall the last verse of the Sermon on the Mount? What does it say? The last verse. It says something about how the people listen and why they listen was what? Because Jesus spoke how? With the voice. Come on. Pastor, see, he's going to have to preach this one again. Authority. Not as a scribe. He wasn't quoting anybody. He was speaking as authority. With authority. And then you may recall that at the end of Matthew, in chapter 28, in verse 18, we find Jesus again speaking. And this time, he says that he has what kind of authority? All authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then he says, go, go. Well, listen, this morning we're going to share about how that God has asked something of us. And he asked through the Lord Jesus. And I'm asking you to listen as we share together. And just in case you've heard this before, you'll probably hear it again. Because you know what Solomon said? He said, there is nothing new on earth. In other words, over and over, over and over. Well, Jesus says this in John. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, this is an amazing sequence of words. For it begins with a conditional if, Richard, if you love Jesus, that's what he said, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. Now, let me ask you, what does the Sermon on the Mount contain? Come on. Yeah. Love one another. Treat others as we're to be treated. Judge not. Pardon. Forgive. Listen again to these words. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll obey me. Now, Jesus did not say, well, if you love me, you may give consideration to my commandments. He didn't say that. He did not say, if you love me, you should obey. He didn't say that. Nor did he say, if you love me, you will try to obey me. He clearly states that if you and I love him, we will obey. We will obey. He is clearly stating, and most of us, you know, we always say, if somebody's talking to us, hey, speak in plain language, right? Don't we like people tell us the truth the way it is? Don't beat around the bush. Just say it. Well, what did Jesus just say? He's stating that our obedience is based on love for him and that our obedience reflects that love. It reflects our love for him. However, some, maybe even us sometimes, have attempted to rewrite this statement this way. If God loves me enough to help me out of this mess, then I will obey Him. You ever kind of thought that way? Yeah. You know, sometimes people refer to this, and some of you servicemen will know what I'm talking about, but foxhole commitment. That is, a soldier who's in danger of maybe being killed, he says, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this alive, I'll serve. Sometimes we make foxhole commitments, don't we? That's right, we do. You see, following statements sometimes reflects that. Said, if you'll just help my grandchild get well, I'll be faithful to help in the nursery or the Awana. If you just help my business succeed, I'll promise to begin tithing my income. If you just help me get that job I'm looking for and I really want, I'll start attending church regularly. You'll improve my eyesight so I can see. I'll begin to read the Bible daily. And if you'll just get my son or daughter off drugs, I'll help with the young people. The list is endless, isn't it? Now let's be honest. How many of us have done things like that? Yeah. Hey, just do it, Lord. We proposition God. Now, we'd never say that, would we? We'd never declare openly in the Bible study or anywhere else that we're propositioning God in this manner. But we are. So what are we saying? We're saying, God, if you love me, you really love me, you will obey me. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I'd never tell God that. I'd never try to order God around. But what are we doing? What are we doing? We make it a test. Our obedience a test. Let's suppose that baby dies. That grandchild. You know, instead of asking and proposition, that's what we need to be, is asking God, Lord, help with this situation. Help me to deal with it. But we sometimes proposition Him. And what happens is, if it doesn't go our way, we decide we don't need God. He really doesn't care. He really doesn't care. We feel lonely. We feel left out. And this becomes a test. When that child dies or the teenager doesn't get off drugs. See, God is uncaring and He really doesn't love me. He really doesn't. See, if God is a God of love, He would never have let that happen. Now, certainly, I think we've encountered folks who've had those kind of thoughts. And the truth is, maybe you've had them. If God really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. Or you may be thinking like this. And this happens to us too. That while this circumstance is going on in my life, I really cannot serve God. I can't obey His commandments. See, as long as I'm in this mess trying to straighten out, and you know we are, we're trying to straighten it out, right? We have financial problems. Who's trying to straighten it out? Me, right? Yeah, sickness. We try to straighten out our problem. And at the time, we're not doing anything except focusing on me. You ever had that issue happen to you? Focusing on me. Listen again to these words. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, loving and obeying Jesus should be natural to us. Should be natural to us. You say, well, why? Because Jesus said that I am in you and you in me. In other words, he lives within us. See, God loves us. He loves us. See, the reason we love and obey him is because God's love through Jesus, his commitment to us. Now, we often talk about marriage and the fact that if it's going to be a real continuing marriage, there has to be more than just the romantic, I love you. But it must be a commitment, a commitment. And therefore, the same is true of us. It's not because we don't have trials, because we don't have troubles in our family or in our church even. Rather, we love and serve him because he loves us. Can you say that? God loves me, and I will serve him because he loves me and has committed himself to me. Let me share just a few examples of God's wonderful love and commitment to you and me. Remember, first of all, John 3:16. If there's anybody here who cannot quote John 3:16, I hope you'll learn it. Learn it. For God so loved the world, that is, he loved Richard, he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That instead of sending your eternity in hell, you spend it forever with him. That's God's love. That's his commitment all the way to Calvary. That we may be forgiven of all of our sin. And that he has removed our sin as far as the east is. Oh, that's east. This is west. Well, whichever direction. He has definitely removed our sin that far away. That far away. And he grants to us through his love and commitment contentment and joy in life. For what did he say? He said the evil one comes for one reason. That is to destroy, to kill. But he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. Life abundant. That's what he comes to give. And that you may have times of trouble and suffering. But I'm with you. I am with you. Just like he promised Joshua as he's getting ready to go into the promised land, he promised you and me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You want a verse that will lift you up? Take Psalm 46, verse 1. Oh, the Lord is my strength and my refuge, a very present help in trouble. Always with you. Always. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He's there. He's there. He's there. And he promises that just in case, just in case you slip and fall, commit a sin, that we have an advocate with God. We have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? That's somebody that defends us. And the scripture says we have an advocate. Listen to this. In 1 John we read, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. See, he doesn't want us to sin. But he goes on to say, and if anyone sins, and who doesn't? Hold up your hand. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. See, we slip, we fall. But God, through Jesus Christ, promises a way of forgiveness if we'll just simply confess it. God loves you and me. He loves us with an everlasting love. That's the kind of love that is real and never ends. Everlasting. And it cannot be severed. Cannot be severed. You remember in Romans Jesus, or rather Paul, writes about this. He says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life, not the troubles and persecution. Because we have His inseparable love. In other words, there's no sword that can cut the love of God from us. We're bound to His love. His love that is everlasting. Everlasting. And Jesus said, you remember when He came close to the end of His life and He was talking to His disciples, and there in the 10th chapter of John, where He tells His disciples, He said, I give you eternal life. Listen to these words. He said, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. Out of my hand, for my Father who has given them me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Listen, when you come to the cross, confess your sin, and accept Jesus' forgiveness, His precious blood cleansing and washing. Receive forgiveness from God. You're received into His family. And you cannot be kicked out. Have you heard of parents telling their children, hey, you can't come back in here anymore? They've messed up so bad. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some, you know what I'm talking about. But you can't get kicked out of God's family. That's the amazing, wonderful truth of His eternal love. We mess up, but we come back to Him. Seek His love and forgiveness because He loves us. He is the eternal Father who loves us. When we understand and experience, and I say, a lot of time, we know. I knew for 20 years before I finally accepted God's amazing love. Maybe you're here today and you have not yet accepted it. And today could be the day. Today could be the day you would enter into the family of God. But once we have known and experienced it, this love produces in you a love for the Lord Jesus. And you will really sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Him. This love motivates. It motivates you to obey Him. Listen to what we read again in 1 John. He said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we're the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And listen to this. And His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. Love one another as I have loved you. That sound pretty hard and bad and mean? He said, love one another even as I have loved you. Listen, His commands are not burdensome. When you love Jesus, it is no burden to obey Him and serve Him. It really isn't. It isn't. It's a joy. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey. The question we all have to ask, and even if we come to church, we got to ask it. Do I really love Jesus? We can't take lightly that question to Jesus. Now, you may remember that Jesus was talking to one of His disciples named Peter. They had been fishing. And Jesus asked Peter, because now Peter, you may remember, was the one who denied him. But this is after the resurrection and before his ascension. And they're there on the beach. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" Well, Jesus is talking specifically to Peter, just like he talks specifically to you, and me. And he said, "Do you love me?" He is anticipating an answer from Peter about Peter, not about one of the other disciples. See, when he asks me, he's not asking me about you, he's asking me. Now notice, he is anticipating a positive response that leads to obedience in service. How do I know that? Because Jesus, each time he asked him, and he responded, the first response, he said, Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Go to work, Peter. Then he said, "Shepherd my sheep." Go to work, Peter. "Tend my sheep. Follow me." Do you think that stopped at that beach before Jesus' ascension? I don't. He's been asking that down through the ages. Right up to this Sunday morning, October 21, 2018. And he's asking the question, "Do you love me? Do you love me? What will your answer be?" B.B. McKinney wrote these words. He said, "Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking." Oh, he's knocked before. This is a question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Will you now answer his tender call? Will you obey whatever befalls? Follow him daily as Lord of all. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is giving us a challenge. When he says, "If you love me, you will obey me." The challenge before you and me today is to love Jesus supremely. With all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength. And to obey him completely. We may sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." But my actions will say how much. Father, we're weak. And God, we're so hypocritical in all of our days. And we need your strength to truly love and obey you as you desire and as you deserve. So, Father, this morning, may we commit ourselves to that purpose in Jesus' precious name. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd just like to recommit your life to Christ, to say, "Here's my life, Lord. I lay it upon the altar." This morning we studied about Abraham putting his son by faith on the altar. Are you willing to put your life by faith on the altar of God's love and mercy and say, "Here's my life, Lord. Take it. Make it useful for thee." And it can only be useful as we obey him. We're going to stand and we're going to listen to the music for just a moment. And God is speaking to your heart. You come right now. Let's stand.